What's going on, everybody? You're listening to a new episode of the Post Game Report podcast. I'm going to talk about the New York Giants draft picks. I'm not going to talk about video games. I purposely haven't talked about the New York Giants in quite some time because I was waiting for the draft. And the Giants have made some moves before the draft. Xavier McKinney is no longer with the Giants. And neither is Saquon Barkley. And to top it off, Saquon Barkley went to the fucking Philadelphia Eagles. Now, he did play for Penn State. So we're going to see Saquon Barkley two times a year. And I really like Saquon Barkley as a player. And, of course, he's a good, you know, based on what he has shown, he's a good teammate, good person overall. So it's going to be hard to cheer against Saquon Barkley. But then the Giants made some moves. Huge moves. Well, one huge move. They traded for a young, excellent pass rusher in Brian Burns, who was with the Panthers. They traded for him. They signed him to a nice contract. Very expensive. And now you have Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, and Kayvon Thibodeau. That is a really good defensive line. And if Azeez Ojulari can stay healthy, the New York Giants have the possibility that on passing downs, we can have those four players rushing the passer. And when Ojulari is healthy, he is an above-average pass rusher. He led the New York Giants in his rookie year in sacks. So having Azeez Ojulari healthy, that is going to be extremely important for this New York Giants defense. But that's a conversation for another day. The Giants had to give up a second-round pick for Brian Burns. The Giants had two second-round picks. They gave up the second-round pick that would have drafted earlier in the second round. But when you think about the fact that you get Brian Burns for that second-round pick, it negates any type of anger you might have had with the New York Giants. So I'm not going to get into 40 times and measurables and all that, but I will say that, you know, I will speak briefly on the draft picks and what I expect these draft picks to do this upcoming season. Now, the New York Giants got a stud wide receiver, a legitimate A-plus athlete, an impact player from the get-go, and a wide receiver that could possibly be amongst the top five in a few years. We got Malik Nabers from LSU. He's a mixture of Odell Beckham and Chase from the Bengals. This kid is explosive. He will be that alpha dog wide receiver we haven't had since Beckham was traded to the Browns. Now, why is that important? Well, for those of you that know football, you know what I'm going to say. When you have a dominant wide receiver and you have a legitimate threat to take a 3-yard pass and run 80 yards for a touchdown, the defense has to play different. Last season, the Giants, they had Saquon Barkley, who was capable of gaining chunk yardage. He's no longer the guy that would take it 80 yards. But Saquon Barkley was still capable of breaking a 50-yard run. But defenses knew that, and they were going to play Saquon Barkley. They were going to dare Daniel Jones or whoever was passing the ball to beat them with the wide receiver core that we had. Now, Darius Slayton, he's a solid number two. You had Jalin Hyatt, who's a rookie. Robinson, who was coming off a serious knee injury. And then Isaiah Hodges, who at one point during the playoff run in 2022, he was the top receiver and had a good rapport with Daniel Jones. But for some reason, he was nowhere to be seen. So for Isaiah Hodges, whether it was the scheme or the quarterbacks, they just didn't see him, or maybe he was just not getting open. You have to think, why couldn't these guys get open? The defense is playing to run. The defense was not scared of anyone. Now, to Darius Slayton's credit, he did show that he is capable of breaking tackles and taking it to the house. So Darius Slayton needs to be played differently. He did all of that. He had some really big plays during the last four games of the season in 2023. So Darius Slayton, he has proven to NFL defenses that you have to pay attention to him. You better make sure you tackle him or he's taking it to the house. So now you bring in a legitimate threat like Neighbors. And defensive coordinators now have to worry about either one of those guys taking it to the house because they decided to play the run heavy and they left their secondary exposed. Robinson has proven that he can make plays after the catch. He can take a 5-yard play or 5-yard catch and take it 10, 20 yards. He's tough. He's very quick with the ball. He could be a freaking weapon underneath. He's not going to beat you deep. He's a short wide receiver / running back. He's under 5'10". But you give him a ball, well, you pass him the ball, in the middle of the field, he's going to make people miss. And Malik Neighbors is going to open all of that up. So in round two, the Giants lost McKinney, as I stated earlier. They draft Tyler Newbin, who was in most draft boards slated as the top safety. So the Giants get a free or strong safety, wherever they put him, who is going to actually catch the damn ball. Now, Pinnock, he used to be a cornerback. And he had a 100-yard interception return last season. So you know he can catch the ball. Xavier McKinney, he was looking like the second-year Xavier McKinney or the rookie Xavier. I'm a little mixed up. But McKinney was playing lights out last season, in the second half of last season, catching really impressive interceptions, flying out of bounds and maintaining his feet in the field of play and holding on to the ball. Tyler Newbin has that capability. He is very smart. He is not a burner by any sense of the imagination, but he has the processing speed. And a lot of times, depending on the defensive position that you're playing, processing speed will compensate for a slower 40. Now, in the third round, the Giants went to get secondary help again. They drafted Andrew Phillips, a very aggressive cornerback. Once again, he's not going to burn you in a 40. He's not going to run a 4-3, but he has an aggressive personality. He has an aggressive style of play. He's a quick processor, and he has enough fluidity to break on a ball or to break on a route as it's happening and make a deflection. He hasn't had interceptions in his college career, so maybe he has hands of stone, but if he can prevent a receiver from catching the ball, I'm cool with that. So in the fourth, the Giants drafted a tight end because Darren Waller is still contemplating whether he's going to retire or not. And last season, Darren Waller looked like a superstar in training camp. But when the season started, he was at one point, I think the first three, four games was actually leading the all tight ends in receptions or something like that. But he only had one touchdown last season. So he's thinking about retiring. He's past the 30-year-old mark, and football's a physical sport. He's always had injuries, and there's personal things that he's going through. So maybe he might not come back. But Theo Johnson out of Penn State is 6'6". He's 260 pounds. He has some really good athletic ability for his size. He runs under a 4.6, which is very impressive for his size. He's a former wide receiver in high school, so he knows how to run routes. Now, I don't expect him to be to come out like a bat out of hell as a rookie. He still needs to learn the game, the professional, how to be a professional football player. I mean, he's going to go up against linebackers that can run just as fast or faster than him and are just as strong, right? He's going to go up against different competition, but he played for Penn State, so he has seen some really, really top competition. So Theo Johnson, I see him contributing right away. And I didn't say that with Tyler Newbin that I predict that he's going to start. And Andrew Phillips, he can contribute a lot in the nickel spot. So in the fifth round, they got Tyrone Tracy, a running back who used to be a wide receiver in college. They switched him over to running back, and he has, number one, outstanding receiving skills out of the backfield because of his, he was a wide receiver. But you would think that as a running back, he would get tackled easily. Not with Tracy. He can break tackles. At least he did in college. He has some shiftiness that can make people miss. He has size that if he gets into the back, into the secondary, he can break some arm tackles. So his receiving ability, his return ability, especially with the new kickoff rule, I can see Tracy contributing right away. And I can see with the Giants, as far as their running back committee, they can do a running back by committee where they have, let's say, in game one, they use two running backs, and in game three, they use four running backs because of their different skill sets. So that's how I feel the New York Giants are going to use their running backs this year. And so Tracy can one day be, in one specific game, he could be the feature back. Because maybe the defense they're playing is better against the run, but weaker against the pass. And they use Tracy on screens, on short passes so that he can run after the catch, et cetera, et cetera. The Giants drafted a linebacker with their last pick in round six, Darius Masao. I can't pronounce his name, so I apologize. He's out of UCLA. From the highlights they showed, he's about 6 feet. He's under 6'1", over 230. But he's an instinctual or instinctive linebacker. Once again, it seems like his processing speed is going to compensate for a slow 40 time. And of course, he's going to play special teams if he makes the roster. And that's how he's going to make the roster, if he can play special teams and provide some depth in the linebacker room. And once again, maybe they use him in certain situations, maybe on running downs. But he will definitely play special teams. And so will Tracy. Those two guys. As a matter of fact, I could see Newbin, Phillips, Tracy. I could see them all playing special teams. Not neighbors, though. So overall, the Giants drafted players that have the same type of personality, and that is, it seems like all of these kids love football. They're very passionate. They're very aggressive. They seem tough, and that is very important for the New York Giants. And it seems like every one of these players will go up to somebody's face if they start talking some shit. The Giants need players like that because the NFC East has gotten tougher. You already have the Eagles, who in the last 4 years have always been Super Bowl contenders. You have the Cowboys, who are always fighting for the playoffs. The Commanders have gotten better. They drafted a young quarterback. They have weapons surrounding him. They have McLaurin already. Their defense has improved in the secondary. So you never know what the Commanders are going to be able to do. But the one thing is for certain, that every team in the NFC East has a dominant wide receiver, an alpha dog. The Giants didn't have that. They were the only team in the NFC East that didn't have that legitimate number one receiver that you had to game plan for. The Commanders have it. The Eagles have two of them. And the Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb, they have their version of, you know, the alpha dog at wideout. So now, back last season, all defenses in the NFC East had to worry about was Saquon Barkley. That's not the case anymore. Now, people are going to think, or people are thinking, who's going to throw the ball to neighbors? You know, Daniel Jones is recovering from a knee injury. And a lot of people didn't want Daniel Jones here. A lot of people. Well, when I say that, when I say a lot of people, that's over-exaggerating. Content creators and Twitter GMs. These people wanted Daniel Jones out so badly that they wanted the Giants to just pick a quarterback, regardless of the fact that the Giants, you know, according to some of these beat reporters that actually get paid to report the news, not some random on Twitter, they were saying that the Giants were trying to trade up to number 3, and at one point they were trying to trade up with the Bears to get the first pick in the draft for Caleb Williams. The Giants actually tried to draft a quarterback at pick number 3, but the Patriots stood and picked Drake May. The Giants tried. Joe Shane tried. That wasn't enough for some people. Some of these Twitter GMs, some of these content creators that frequent, well, that occupy YouTube, they wanted the Giants to take J.J. McCarthy. I would have been extremely pissed off if that was the case. I did want Bo Nix. No, excuse me, Penix. Not Bo Nix, Penix. I would have been okay if the Giants traded down and got Penix. I didn't believe that Penix was worth a number six pick. Of course, I could be wrong. J.J. McCarthy could be, you know, an all-pro next year. And Penix could, you know, beat out Kirk Cousins and, you know, take the Falcons to the Super Bowl. You just never know. The draft is not a perfect science. You just never know. There have been plenty of drafts where we've seen these top quarterback prospects get drafted high, and a lot of them are no longer in the league. So I wouldn't have been pissed off if the Giants drafted Drake May at 3. If they gave up some assets and traded up, they got Drake May, a kid who can run, who can pass, he has a strong arm. I wouldn't have been pissed. I'm not going to sit here and say that I believe in Daniel Jones and I don't want the Giants to bring nobody in. I'm not going to say that. Daniel Jones, he was good in 2022. And Giants fans and Giants, I keep saying Giants Stadium, at MetLife, I remember in the last game of the season, people were cheering on. I almost called him Dave Brown. Holy shit. Now, for those that don't know, I have a brain injury, so my mind goes all over the place. So anyway, Daniel Jones, not Dave Brown, but he reminds me of what, you know, the same situation with Dave Brown. So anyway, people in 2022, the last game of the season, because the Giants were going to Minnesota to play a playoff game, people were giving Daniel Jones a standing ovation. They were chanting Daniel Jones. So the Giants decided, you know, after the 2022 season to give him this big contract. And during training camp, he showed a lot of confidence. People were talking about how great the offense looked. The first preseason game that the starting offense played in, they looked efficient. Jones and Waller were connecting. They scored, and we were like, holy crap, this offense is going to kick some fucking ass. And then the horror show against the Dallas Cowboys happened on a Monday Night Football game, and all hell broke loose. The season was just a freaking mess. And then Daniel Jones gets hurt. So now people are unhappy, rightfully so, because Daniel Jones had some games last season that stunk. It's totally fine if you are not happy with Daniel Jones and you want him gone. I can understand that. I wouldn't be opposed to that. But the question is, are you going to waste a number six pick on an uncertain quarterback when you already have that on your roster? And the difference is that Daniel Jones has gotten to the playoffs with Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, Bellinger at tight end. Those were his weapons. And you look at the offensive line back then, Daniel Jones and the entire Giants offense, they were effective. They were scoring enough points. The defense was doing enough to win games. and they beat the Minnesota Vikings at their own home in the playoffs. So the difference between, let's say, J.J. McCarthy and Daniel Jones is that you have a quarterback with starting experience and some success. Daniel Jones obviously has a lot to prove this season. He has a lot to prove. But now he has a legitimate number one receiver, a really good number two receiver in Darius Slayton, a possible starter, future starter in Jalin Hyatt, and a really good player in Robinson at the slot. And in the second half of the season, he came on and he was legit. And let's say Darren Waller retires. The Giants signed a bunch of tight ends and drafted Theo Johnson. So the tight end room will be okay. Of course, the big question is if the offensive line is going to be capable of pass blocking for whoever is going to be the starting quarterback. And most importantly, is the right tackle going to improve this year? Now, Neil, of course, that I almost forgot his name. Neil needs to freaking step it up. And, of course, that's nothing new. The kid has a lot of talent. The Giants signed a new offensive line coach. So let's see if they can get the most out of him. And maybe Evan Neal plays to that potential that everybody expected when he got drafted high by the New York Giants. If that happens, the offense is going to, the combination of Evan Neal stepping it up and Malik Nabers, this Giants offense is going to look totally different. And whoever's the quarterback, whether it's Daniel Jones, because even if you drafted a quarterback, that quarterback wasn't going to start. Daniel Jones will be starting some games. Now, whether he's good or bad, that remains to be seen. But he has a legitimate weapon now. And the fact that all these Twitter GMs and these content creators who all they do is bitch and bitch. Because all they can say is they don't want Daniel Jones. And then they will tell their viewers or their listeners that he's incapable of playing quarterback in this league. And that's a bunch of bullshit. Because he is capable of being a successful quarterback. But there are levels to success. You know, look at Kirk Cousins. He's had outstanding numbers during the season, but he can't win a playoff game. Then you have Eli Manning, who would have more interceptions than touchdowns, but he would win the Super Bowl in the same season. So there are different types of success. Hopefully the entire offense can play to the level that we all expect them to play. And it would be great as a New York Giants fan to see that so that we can see the potential that we've been hoping for. We can see exactly what Dable has in mind. Hopefully the defense improves now that they have Brian Burns and you have one of the best players in the NFL in Dexter Lawrence. You have a younger secondary now. Banks looks legit at cornerback. You have Tyler Newbin, Jason Pinnock. Those are your starting safeties. Cornerback number two, that's the question that needs to be answered. But if you have a great pass rush, like the Giants potentially do on paper, the secondary, they'll have a better chance of covering some of the top wide receivers in the league that come out of the NFC East. They're going to have a better chance in covering them because they have to do it for less time. But yeah, you know, I go to these New York Giants Twitter spaces, and there's only one that I go because these guys are true fans, and they love, you know, they might not all agree that, you know, they don't all like Daniel Jones, but they'll tell you why. And they'll explain why they want a different quarterback. They won't just scream that, oh, freak Dable, freak Shane, and freak Daniel Jones just because. They don't act like that, like little kids, like these other Twitter spaces that I go to. And I'm like, I'll listen for 1 minute, then it's, even after they drafted Malik Nabers, all I heard was them crying about Daniel Jones. And it's like, you know what? Get the fuck out of here. Let me leave. Because we just drafted one of the most explosive players in the draft. And all they could do is bitch about Daniel Jones. So, you know, why sit there and get aggravated? I jumped to the real Twitter space with real New York Giants fans, and no two people are going to agree, but they can debate like adults and explain themselves like real adults, like intelligent people. But I'm going to stop bitching about Twitter spaces because it's not just football, it's electronics, it's video games. You get some of the weirdest fucking people in these Twitter spaces. Oh my God. If you want to be entertained, jump into a video game Twitter space and you will hear some of the most outlandish shit. Some of it is so fucked up that it's entertaining. But anyway, I feel that the Giants had a good draft. They drafted. They had a theme. They had an idea, and they went with it. And the players fit that theme and idea. And we're going to get players out of this draft that are going to contribute right away. Whether that means we're going to see more wins from the Giants, that remains to be seen. You got to take every season as a brand new season. You can't just live in the past and live on that Daniel Jones playoff win or live with the Daniel Jones atrocity that was the 2023 season. You have to take every season as a brand new season. Give all these players a chance because they are superior athletes. They can play a game that none of us can play in a professional level. So that requires a lot of mental strength that most regular human beings don't have. So we got to give these guys an opportunity to prove themselves. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. You guys take care. Talk to you soon.